You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. You've all been so amazing out there, just sticking with us, hanging with us. It's been a wild ride. It is a wild ride. It continues to be a wild ride. You had all kinds of time here in the last couple weeks to have even more wild rides happen. And as many of you found out, that, as they said, time waits for no man, that as many of you found out, in the midst of celebrations and joys and pains and sorrows and desires, you had memories and pains and the bills came in and people got hurt and eating disorders became revealed in your own families and the pain of loss became more magnified, not less magnified. All kinds of stuff went off, but still we go on. Still we go on. That is our legacy. That is our truth. That is our awakening. We go on. We don't clam up. We say, well, life gets in the way. Life hurts us. Age hurts us. We could have done that, but we didn't do that. But as Maya Angelou said about The Voice, she was raped brutally as a young girl. And she didn't talk. I cannot remember now for how many years, but she did not speak. She stopped speaking. And it was in relation to somehow the man who did this, they were known to her. I think it might have been a relative. I'm not positive, or a family friend. And he was killed, I think. And again, I'm not getting the story right because I didn't plan on talking about this story. But the concept here is that for whatever happened in her sweet little child's mind, she stopped speaking for many, many years. Many years. But she got educated and she found other ways of expression. But when she, as she was recalling this, as she's talking in her 80s during an interview, she said, my voice did not leave me. I left my voice. So life does not leave you. We always say, don't let life pass you by. Well, there's part of that is true. But what part of that, how are you looking at that? What part of the globe are you viewing this from? What part of the celestial universe are you seeing this from? I cannot right now. I mean, I probably could at least do some, but I could not right now realistically say, if I practice hard enough, I will have a place in the Bolshoi ballet, if there's such a thing anymore, or the American ballet. It ain't going to happen. No matter how much I do right now, the world, yes, that spot when I did ballet way back when, way back when, it just wasn't something I developed into. It was not something that I had enough. I had lots of passion about it, but I just went other directions. And when they say, quote, life got in the way, but what was that like? I was suddenly pregnant as a teenager. That changed it. But you know, what price? I mean, to me, yeah, so what? I would not be a ballerina anyway right now. It wouldn't make a difference. Because sometimes the things that you die for, the things you want, the things you think you deserve, the things you wish you had, they go away, they get robbed, they get stolen, they do go by. But what comes up instead? If the earth gets plowed before your face or gets drawn to just to cinders, what comes up? Little flowers, new plants, things you didn't know you had. So, what if we said yes to every opportunity that came by, that something in us wanted, but yet we told ourselves it's too late. We weren't good enough. We're not good enough. Oh, if we would have practiced, oh, if we would have stuck with this, we would have stuck with that. But the opportunity is actually there in your face. What if we said yes? What if we said yes to every single one? It would be amazing. I'm here to tell you, it would be absolutely amazing. And if nothing else, nothing else in the history of mankind tells you anything, the mother of Jesus, as a little girl in a very, very rigid world, with no concept of the outside world, in the middle of a desert, with a very strong genealogical heritage that was in itself, in some ways, a liberation and a prison at the same time, exactly at the same time. In the way that, now why do you think people revolted? We're going to talk about revolution as well. But people throughout time ended up revolting. Now, wait a minute, let's go over here. We can't inbreed. Obviously, genetically, God put us on this planet to not inbreed, because when we inbreed, we get diseases and we get less than intellectual abilities. We get no variety. And that's what's happening even in what's happening to us in our internet world. We're getting our brains are getting inbred. Oh, you like this movie? You like that movie? You like this movie? You like that movie? More of the same, more of the same, more of the same. Don't have any excitement out there. Don't get to know something new. Don't try outside of your comfort zone. Don't look at somebody else. Don't look at somebody else's situation. Don't look at how they're doing it over there, because you liked this song in 1972 and you punched on it. So I'm just going to feed you more of the same. Here, have more oatmeal, have more oatmeal, have more oatmeal. And I'm here to say today, let's not have some oatmeal. Let's like oatmeal. Let's not throw it away. But let's say, what if we say yes? We say yes to quinoa. We say yes to having salmon for breakfast. We say yes to having Mediterranean tomatoes and olives and mozzarella cheese for breakfast. What about saying yes? What about saying yes to, okay, I will look at that thing that I've been bearing down inside of me. What if I say yes to yes, I will open my eyes and see that my child really does have an eating disorder. Really does. And it's dangerous. It's not just a thing. What if I say yes to singing? And I'm not singing like I wanted to. I'm not singing in front of an orchestra. But I'm singing to the homeless, or I'm singing to the birds. I'm singing to my dog. What if we say yes to those things? What could happen? How about some joy? How about getting keys that unlock doors? I went to Vigil this Sunday, or Saturday night. And I wish I remember. I'm so sorry, Father. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I do not know this priest's name. I know he's been there a long time. And the priest I do know is brand new, but he happens to be my spiritual advisor, so I know his name. So I go to Vigil, and here's the, I'll just call him the priest with the curly hair. And he was giving his homily, and he was talking about Christmas and how Christmas was like for children. It was for adults too, the story, of course, but that it was a very exciting holiday. But he was talking about, in the secular sense of the word, that New Year's was kind of an adult holiday. But he said, and we all know this, we do this every single day. I don't care whether it's New Year's or whether it's 2 weeks into March. You give yourself a resolution. I will resolve to do this. This is what I will do. I will have no more sugar ever, and I will have no more fat ever, and I will only eat from the earth, and I will be very, very healthy. Well, that lasts about 5 minutes to the next burger. But he said, what about if we have, instead of resolution, we have a revolution, a spiritual revolution? And I, man, that really got me. I really got that. And I thought, whoa, that's, I like that. And I don't get it exactly, but I like that. The spiritual revolution, a radical. And if you look into the Catholic, what's it called, people? Catechism. Thank you, people. So it is the Catechism. When you look up reconciliation, it talks about a radical, that you are given a, it talks about radical, being radical. And we're talking about revolution. We're not talking about little four-chord, soft-shelled, little soft things in pastels. We're talking about that too. But we're talking about radical. We're talking about hard, cold, abrupt, revolution, scary stuff. What if I get shot in the front lines? What if I fall flat on my face? What if I get caught? What if I get thrown back? What if I starve? What am I going to do without all those pictures of my childhood or my children or my mother or my father? What if I lose my retirement account? What if I get a flat tire? Revolution. I will guarantee you that when you have to be part of or run against a revolution, pretty soon, none of that stuff matters anymore because you're running for your life. Well, what if part of running for your life is simply saying yes? Yes, to view things as an open door. Yes, to view things as, what have you got in store for me? What adventure are we going on today, God? What adventure are we? Let me get on your back, like some of those little children's stories, riding through the ethereal world of adventure. What if we can do that? Let's talk about that on the other side of the break, and that and more. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are listening to Dr. Michelle Live.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. 5734BREAD4, 5734BREAD4, and you are walking with me today on this road of life. Every step is a new step. Every single moment that you are breathing, you're breathing in new molecules, molecules you didn't breathe in 1 second ago. You have to breathe in new molecules or you would not live. It's just like a little fish that you put in a little fish tank. If you do not pump in new, fresh oxygen, it will die. It has to live. You have to have new molecules, new experiences, newness. It's all new. Every spring, every moment, it is never the same spring. You may live on the same farm. You may have, in the old days, they had century farms. And when I mean old days, I mean 30 years ago. And now they've been taken over by corporations. But there were century farms where people lived on the same plot of land for generations and generations, 100 years. Great-grandpa settled it and great-grandma, and they had their families, and their families stayed, and then they married, and they stayed, and they married, and they stayed, and they grew the same land, but every single year. So it may look the same tree, the same snow, the same branches, the same everything, a few storms, the green comes up, it looks like the same meadow, but it's always different. So you need to be always different too. We need to be always different. So what if we suddenly said, yes, yes, yes. Today I will go with that friend to coffee that I keep saying I can't go. Today I really will pick up that musical instrument, that guitar. I'll sing in the shower. I'll volunteer and I'll sing in my choir. I will paint. I will do anything, even if it looks like stick figures. Most of us who have any road under our feet, will go and say, gosh, I used to be able to do that. I was so proficient, man. And then I had kids and I stopped drawing. I stopped painting and I couldn't draw my name in the sand. Well, go draw your name in the sand. Try it. And then go from there. Do not compare yourself to yourself. Do not compare yourself to the thing in your head that doesn't even exist anyway. And do not compare yourself to the outside world. Way easier said than done, because I do it 100% of the time. I'm always comparing myself. But be aware. Awareness is the key to all. When you are aware, I think it was Richard Rohr that said a couple days ago, let me see if I can find it real fast here. If you can just hold on, go get your coffee. I'll see if I can find it, because he was talking, I think, about St. Ignatius, and he said something pretty awesome, and I will find it right here. Oh, I should do it through the break and not have you wait, but I'm going to have you wait anywhere, anyway. All right, this was Saturdays, maybe. Let me see if this is it. Well, I'm not going to waste your time right now. I will get to it, but let me give you the gist. First of all, the gist of it is that, I know where it is. Okay. Oh, this is so not radio. You're not supposed to do this. Come on, Father Rohr. Here we go. He's talking about love never fails. And he talks about that maybe that, when he's talking about love is patient, love is kind, that love never fails. And instead of looking at a situation where we talk about what we should and shouldn't do. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. What it is more important, he was kind of relating this to, and I still can't find it, relating this to St. Ignatius. What is more important is how about instead of our examination, and let's put both and our examination of our own conscience every day, whether we do it at night, whether we do it throughout the day, that instead of that being what I didn't do, what I should do, how about instead noticing the moments when you were not aware of God, you were not aware of God's presence. Now that's a revolutionary idea, that in our moments doesn't mean that you're thinking about God all the time, but that if we're aware of God's presence, just aware, just like right now, I'm aware of what the weather's like. I'm aware of the green leaves I'm seeing outside. I'm aware of the little daisies that are still growing outside. I'm aware of the palm sitting up there still green. I'm aware that we've had a ton of rain, so I'm aware of the smell of some mold. Now, it doesn't mean I'm thinking about it until I draw my attention to it. I'm aware of the fact that my dog, a Mozart, is in this room. Sometimes I think now he's coming over. Hi, Mozart. But I'm aware that he's in this room. I'm not really thinking about him. I didn't even think about him. Now I am, because I'm petting him. Hey, baby. But I didn't think about him. My consciousness was about saying yes. My consciousness was about you. My consciousness was about me. But yet I was aware that he's there. I'm aware of the little pink teddy bear that I have when I Skype with my little granddaughter 2,000 miles away. I'm aware of that. Now, God is with you. It would be very impossible to be aware of all these things and keep them with you all day long. But it is not impossible to be aware. Just like it is not only not impossible, it is who you are to be aware of your environmental weather conditions 24/7. Even when you're sleeping, you're aware if you get a little cold, because even if you don't remember it, you pull those blankets around you. You're aware if the sun's shining and you need to pull down the visor. You're aware if you feel warm. You're aware if you feel cold. Be aware of God. Be aware that every moment you're wrapped in him. Every moment you're breathing him in, you're breathing him out. He's breathing you in, he's breathing you out. Every moment. And in that moment, if you're aware, then that is your call. And that is revolutionary. That you don't have to take your human body and sit down and say, okay, now, Mr. Robotic Human Body, or Ms. or Mrs., I'm going to sit you down, you little square mechanical thing, and I'm going to start thinking about God now, and I'm going to start praying. Now, again, it's all the above. It's both and. Of course you can do that. It keeps you on track. You need to speak. You need to say when you make the word made flesh, as you speak openly and you air your fears and you air your concerns. And the more you air them, the more you can see them from a multiple points of view. If you keep them in your head, you're going to, as we said in the beginning of the program, keep feeding yourself the same oatmeal every morning for breakfast. You're never going to see things from another perspective. That's the power of someone who wants to control you. Whether it's a spouse, a child, a mother, a father, a country, a city, a Hollywood, fashion designers, it doesn't matter. Be they good and benevolent and want to just spread what they feel is the best thing in the world, or whether they just want something from you. And if they keep you together in this something, then they will keep you in the mindset and they keep feeding you what is right and what is wrong and what is right and what is wrong. And pretty soon you live reactionarily. You're a reactor instead of an initiator, instead of a creator, a co-creator, your reactor. You don't want to be a reactor. A reactor can only function when it's given something to react to. You want to evolve, revolve. You want the all-being, whatever all of I can get, dissolve into God. You want the alves. I don't even know what all of means, but you want it. So when this priest said, let's have a revolution of our soul, a spiritual revolution inside. It doesn't mean that you go out and march. It could mean that that's part of it, but it doesn't mean that you're just out there in this regimented thing that you know in your brain. It means that inside you have a revolution. So let's take a look at some definitions of the word revolution. So if you look at it in the, first we're just going to go to our little dictionary because that's always the most fun. And that's not, I love, if y'all have the Oxford Dictionary, go there or go to some of the really huge giant dictionaries that tell you every part of the etymology, when it was used, how it was used, what it really was first intended to. And it opens up such a world to you. Our English language, I'm speaking in English, so many of you speak more languages. I do not. And I've always, as a child, felt that I was somehow limited, not because I wanted to speak other languages. I didn't understand one could even do that. But I felt that my own language, what I was speaking, was not expressing what my entire being was experiencing. I could only say words and they always fell flat. It's like when you want to hum a symphony. So let's all hum Beethoven's Fifth. Right? Well, do you hear though, babe, when you didn't hear me hum or you didn't hear yourself hum, you're just like this little voice. You're not the whole symphony, but you hear the whole symphony in your head. So we're going to look at the word revolution when we come back. We're going to see the many forms that it gives us to utilize when we're talking about a soul revolution. See you on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. 1-573-4BREAD-4 is our phone number. You can also text. You can log on breadboxmedia.podbean.com to get our archives. Just scroll over to Dr. Michelle Live and you got the whole gamut. The times where I fall flat on my face, because it's always live. The times where I cry. The times where I make up words. The times where I say wrong things. You can look at all of them. And believe me, some people do find it interesting to point all those out. But, and I think it's, you know, really, if that's what you do, that's what you do. And sometimes actually I totally learn from those things. So that's okay. And you might get something as well. So, you can certainly log on. We have all kinds of topics, and you can suggest anytime a topic you would like to hear. I tend to go into the ethereal, and that's just who I am. That's what I like. So I bring in all the things that I have experienced myself, along with my education and my vocation, my profession, my hobbies, everything. But there are many things that we could talk on specifically. And we have in the past medications, let's say, or different medical procedure type things even. I mean, anything is right there. And if I don't know, I will either say I don't know, or I'll research it and we'll bring it up. We'll talk about it. Relationships. Nobody has to be perfect in a relationship to be able to guide and to take a look and see things, because an outside point of view gives you a fresh perspective. So you may be dancing around an issue and all the different parts, pieces of the puzzle seem to be pretty obvious. Communication. I'll give you an example in a little while, because I want to get into this revolution idea. But real quickly, this an example of couples problems. And again, this is just something to a little tidbit. If you want to talk more about them, then let's do couples problems. So you have a couple that are thinking about getting married, and they like to do things together. Everything seems to be okay. And then little by little, from the outsider's point of view, they're more and more distant, and they're feeling more and more distant. And they're going to this source and that source and this book and this spiritual advisor and this counselor. And they bring me this book. And the book is talking about somebody's like underlining and saying, look, see, here's the thing. If you don't grow together, you're going to grow apart. And if you don't do things together, you're going to help grow apart. And you have to have the commitment for selflessness in the relationship. And you have to stay together. You must physically do things together. All that is absolutely true. But the truth of their situation, the reason that was only it was hopeful and frustrating at the exact same time. Have you ever had that feeling? I have. You're hopeful and frustrated because you're hopeful in it. You already know you're kind of defeated before you start. And why? Not because you are, but because you're dancing around a different issue. The issue that you're not aware of. Again, the awareness. And that issue for this particular couple was that when one of the partners was, one of the spouses was hurt internally, a way that the other spouse could never even guess, coming from way back, they would tend to be very destructive in the relationship. And oftentimes they would take the vulnerabilities of the other spouse and use them as a weapon. I don't know if you've ever, we'll get into that some other time. We'll do a whole program on that. But that's what would happen. And so that the person, the one spouse, I'm not getting into the specifics. I want to get back to my revolution idea, and saying yes. And if I were to have them in this yes conversation, I would say, you need to say yes to the fact that there are deeper issues, individual issues here. And you have to say, yes, I'm willing to do my own work. Yes, I'm willing to go there individually. Yes, I'm willing to see that, yeah, it's not just about not spending enough time together. It's about this person is no longer safe with me. And that was the whole crux, is that the spouse was not, did not feel internally safe. They could say, yes, I'm safe. You do everything, because they would say, well, what, look what I do for you. Look what I do for you. I'm home. I do this. I do that. I'm, you know, this whole long laundry list of things they do, which was all true. And they were faithful, all true. But when you take away the layers, peel away the layers of the onion, the truth was that when it comes down to it, spouse number one would take the vulnerability of spouse number two and use it as a weapon against spouse number two. Almost like making them eat dirt. Something in them grew up into this kind of an odd rage, kind of an odd expression that was one of their own hurt and woundedness. It comes from like about a little three-year-old would do. You know, you're just all mad and tired because you're frustrated and you want that cookie. You don't get it. So you go hit something or throw a block or you do something like that. But see, those things, we start getting embarrassed about, or we don't want to see it, or we get so taken up in our own stuff. Well, what if we open up and say yes, even if it's just yes to, I will attempt to be more aware of God in my moment. Now, when you're really hot under the collar and you're yelling and screaming or whatever, you may not be aware at that moment. But if that is a beginning of a yes, so let's go back to the practical. Sometimes doing the practical will help you with the ethereal. Doing the black and white, the things, the concrete things will help us do the more ethereal. So if we start saying yes to the things that bring us joy, yes, I will go out and take one little tiny patch and garden if that's what you want to do. Yes, I will bake those cookies. Yes, I will start singing. Yes, I will paint this wall blue. Yes, I will go bounce the basketball even though, you know, I'm a weekend warrior and I've got a big belly and I haven't played basketball in 30 years. You don't have to go and give yourself a heart attack. Maybe the first yes is I will go out and get a physical, make sure I'm all okay. Or the yes is my eyes are going to stay inward. I'm going to get rid of the outside world. I'm not going to look at it as much. I'm not going to let that suck me in and draw me in. The internet is filled now with the dangers. Again, this is also a fear-mongering reality. We're talking now, how many years have we been into this whole concept of legalizing marijuana? And back decades ago, it was the thing where everybody had their martinis and the young people knew better because they could smoke their weed and that was that, and it was all different. They weren't hypocrites. And then we had all the information on smoking and drinking, and we had all the medical studies and all that, so we knew how bad it was, and we didn't know how bad marijuana was, but a lot of the medical profession did. Even when it was illegal, we knew what it did. It chemically split the corpus callosum so that one side of the brain had a little bit of a lag time to the other side. It changed depth perception. It took away motivation. And I've heard so many people say, I read an article the other day of a very hip person that's saying, wow, I had to be away from marijuana. They had legalized medical marijuana. And they said, for some reason, they got that kind of... There's this little syndrome they're now seeing more and more of, where people throw up and they get dehydrated and it's pretty dangerous. And so they had to stop for a while. And they said, I all of a sudden got my motivation back. They didn't even realize. So how about saying yes to slowing down? Yes to whatever yes. Let this be the year of yes. I'm thinking of it in terms of, you know, little advent calendars where you have those little doors you open up every day. Well, how about if we had a life calendar, like an advent calendar, where every day, every morning, you just open that little door to see what's behind it. And the only way you can do that is say, God, I'm riding your back today. Take me on an adventure. I'm climbing on. Take me on your adventure. And yeah, if I got to see some things that aren't so great, all right, but I'm on your back. You have me. You're going to show me. We might go through the valley of tears. like in those movies where you see the two-seater planes and the person's, you know, like going way down here and way up there, and they're going here and the other person's hair is standing on end because they're so scared. So this is all part of the revolution. So let's look at revolution. We look at it now, talking it in some ways of an overthrow, or like as just in dictionary.com, an overthrow or repudiation and the thorough replacement of an established government. Okay, that's political. Sociologically, a radical and pervasive change in society. So radical and pervasive change. Sometimes it's also, number three, a sudden, complete, or marked change in something. The present revolution in church architecture. That was the example. A procedure, a course, as in a circuit, back to the starting point. RPMs, revolutions per minute. The revolving door, it always goes back, it goes around and it goes back to the starting point. Well, what if we go back to the origin? What if we go back to our starting point? We're going to finish that up on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can log on to breadboxmedia.com. And you know what? I'm going to repeat all this because every time I'm there, I know you all can relate. And I hear something and I really love it. And they're giving me a phone number or they're saying who they are. And then I'm like trying to remember it really fast because I have nothing to write and I want to punch it in my phone and I can't do it. So let's try this over. You can email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. That's dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can log on to breadboxmedia.com and become friend of the show. You just log on, you find friend of the show, you click on that, you scroll down to Dr. Michelle Live, and you can become friend of the show. You can also go to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. That's breadboxmedia.podbean.com. Find all my old archives. I guess by definition, archives are old. You can find all the archives and you can listen to all kinds of our other contributors. We are really a very eclectic group of really awesome people. So you can partake in that because you have to be too, because you're listening. So whichever way you're listening, you know, this is, we're here for you. You can also call or text during our show. 573-4BREAD-4. And in all of this, you can remain anonymous. So here we go. So if what would happen if you said yes to every opportunity? We're talking about revolution now. Revolution. It's from the Italian word or the Latin word. Sorry, revolutio. A turnaround. Wow, cool. Revolution from the Italian revolutio. And I keep saying the Italian from the Latin revolutio, a turnaround. We take it to mean that fundamental change in political power or organizing structure. And Aristotle, way back in time, Aristotle described two types of political revolution, a complete change from one constitution to another, or a modification of an existing constitution. Now, if we don't go any further into politics, because throughout history, they've occurred continually, haven't they? Everybody revolts. We have the thing revolting. We're not going there. But there's all kinds of things to revolt against. Certain ideologies taking over. Jesus was a revolutionary, period. That's just, he just was. He brought a revolution to the old way of thinking. It was an overthrow. It changed everything. But it was, in some terms, it was a modification of an existing, quote, constitution, unquote. It was a clarification, something new. Now, we can also look at it as, in the astronomy, a revolution orbiting around one full orbit from some point in space. There's not like a little, you know, year one and you go around. There's a revolution it takes to go a complete orbit, usually a little bit of an elliptical orbit. It's a circular moving or curving course about a central point. And our central point is God, and God's central point is us, believe it or not. So when we go around and we have this, we take the fullness of the word, incorporating the complete or marked change, a replacement or modification of something that's already existing, which you are. You're the only you you'll ever be, but you're the only one of you you'll ever be. And you really aren't that much different. The oak tree looks a whole heck of a lot different than it did as its tiny little seed. When it was an acorn. But it is now still embodies all that it had as the acorn inside of it, as do we. So what would happen if you did have that life calendar, if you woke up and said, I want something new today. I want to open that door. I want adventure. I don't want the same old stuff fed to me. I don't want to turn on my Spotify and keep getting the same thing. Can't we mix it up a little bit? You notice all the time, there is not one person out there who uses a computer, and all of us use a computer in one way or another, an iPhone, an iPad, or the Windows equivalent. We use it all. And we cannot get on to say, today I want to look up mass times. And yesterday, let's say you wanted to look up back braces. You will get an ad for a back brace. Somewhere over to the side, somewhere and when you're looking at your links, somewhere in there, even in the article that you're looking up for mass times in Minnesota, somewhere in Minnesota, Duluth, somewhere interjected in there or in your Yahoo News, you're going to get something that spurs what you had looked at the other day. It keeps you tied there. Instead of giving you something new, what if you logged on today, and instead of getting the same worn out looking piece of furniture from Pottery Barn that they've had recycled for the last 30 years in just out of a different store coming up on your screen, what if they gave you a picture of the tip of an iceberg, or they showed you an aurora borealis, or there was I saw this. That's why I go onto Bing sometimes. It's a terrible search engine, I think, for me, but they always have these beautiful pictures. And so, there was some kind of picture of an eagle or somewhere, and they had a webcam. Somebody has a webcam on this eagle in Florida. And it had a little chick. Well, thank you. Awesome. But I don't want to have to be logged on to a million animal things to get that. I want to be able to partake in this beautiful world. I want to see new things. I want to know new people. So what would happen if you had a life calendar of your own, a life advent calendar, not where you mark off the days, but you get excited about opening up the door to the day? That's the difference. You're not crossing off another day looking, oh, I'm crossing off another day. Oh, look how old I'm getting. Oh, look what I missed. Look what I didn't do. Look what I should have done. Look how many lives I destroyed. You have to do that. And we get forgiven. We get forgiven for those things. We get forgiven for those old things. If you never had children and you had a pet, and the pet messed in your house, you'd be a pretty hard soul if you just kept punishing that dog over and over for messing, or that cat for messing in your house. We mess up in life. But what would happen? What if you just opened the door, you woke up and your eyes were this beautiful, whatever picture you like in your head, and it had all these little perforated areas where you just opened today's door. Jump in, jump on God's back and see what he has in store for you. What would it be like? And as that priest asked, what if instead of New Year's resolution, we had a New Year's revolution, an internal revolution, a revolution of the soul, the spirit, the outlook, the life, the personality? Just because you said yes, try one thing, a yes. Try one yes and see if that doesn't ignite you, if it doesn't open you. One yes to something different. How many movies do you like? You can be the most hardcore movie fanatic, or you can be the person who only watches the Hallmark Channel. But how many times do you see this theme over and over again, where the little old lady or the little old man who we know because of the way they look and the way they're made up for their role are all, you know, they can't change anything. They're all set in their ways completely. And they try the new thing. They try the new little ice cream, or they try, you know, they do a little, they dance a little bit and they start giggling and, ooh, I didn't know, you know, that it could be so fun. And then all of a sudden, you know, like Mary Poppins, they're like floating up into the air. That it's because it's real. It's just shown in a fantasy form, but that's what we're meant to do. That's what being reborn is all about. That's what the revolution of the soul is all about. We are meant to do that. We are meant to be that. So you can either, instead of revolting against revolt, we're not talking about revolt, we're talking about revolution. Revolt is a thing. It's an action. It's a deal. It implies there's something awful. And if something is revolting, then it's disgusting. It's awful. But a revolution, the revolution of the planets around the sun, the revolution of changing ideas, of doing something for a hope for something new. Sometimes it's done out of control, or people seize the good part of a revolution, the ideology of the revolution, and they use it for their own gain. So we're not talking about that. But what if we, instead of revolting against something, or as Father Richard Rohr was talking about, instead of always, we need to be accountable for what we do to ourselves and to God. We need that. But let's today wake up and say yes. Look for the adventure in every moment and be aware of God in your every moment as much as you can. I am Dr. Michelle. We will see you tomorrow. And this is Dr. Michelle Live.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.